This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Abu Umama, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, the greatest name of Allah is in three surahs: Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, and Taha, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 16. And Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, says that he was sitting with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and a man was praying. Then this man said, while supplicating, O Allah, I ask you, by virtue of the fact that all praise is due to you, there is no God worthy of being worshipped but you alone, and you have no partner or associate, the bestower, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the possessor of majesty and honor, O ever-living, O sustainer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has asked Allah by his greatest name, which if he is called upon, thereby he answers. And if he is asked, thereby he gives. These two hadiths and many more highlight a particular issue. Number one, are all the names of Allah Azza wa Jal equal, or they vary, some greater than the other? This hadith and the other one highly indicate that they are not in the same category. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, the greatest name of Allah, which means that there is a greater name than other names. And the second hadith, which I read the translation, the man said in Arabic, and always Arabic is the language of Islam. You cannot sense and feel the power until you understand this language. Yes, when I translate to you, it may reflect some of the power, but not all of it. And this is why so many scholars said that the names of Allah Azza wa Jal must be read in Arabic, but only for non-Arabs to understand what they may mean, we may translate it for them. And this is why we cannot translate the Quran. And we never say that this is the translation of the Quran. Rather, we say this is the translation of the meaning of the Quran. So, again, the names of Allah Azza wa Jal vary. And the scholars have differed. Which is the greatest name of all? That subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he was called upon, thereby he answers, and if he was asked, thereby he gives. What is this beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal? Scholars differed into a number of different opinions that have reached about 14, and some made them go up to 44. The most authentic opinion is that the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is Allah. And this is where you get the result from scrutinizing all the hadiths and evidences that said that Allah has a greatest name. So when you combine all the evidences, you come up that the common denominator of all of them is the name Allah. And which makes a person inclined that Allah is the greatest name, the fact that this name, this majestic name, Allah, was mentioned in the Quran 2,697 times according to Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufahras for Muhammad Abdul Baqi, may Allah have mercy on his soul. So according to that, it was repeated 2,697 times. Whereby the name Ar-Rahman was only mentioned 57 times. And it just shows you this huge difference. And this name by itself includes many great meanings. And remember, when we read in the books that talk about the beautiful names of Allah, we will find big volumes. And sometimes one single name, they would write pages and pages and pages. To us laymen who are far away from Islam, who've been indulged in these worldly matters to our necks, when we read this, I wouldn't say that we would feel a bit bored. Rather, I would say that we would feel a bit alienated. We would not be feeling at home. Why? In our perspective, the name of Allah, so-and-so, means so-and-so. That's it. One sentence does the job. The scholars of Aqeedah, the real knowledgeable scholars, could not accommodate volumes of books with the thoughts that they have, so overflowing. So when we say the name of Allah, it originates, as some scholars say, from the name Ilah. And some say that it is abstract. It is not originating from anything. It is just the name as it is that directs us to the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's it. What else? The scholars of Aqeedah, they address far beyond thoughts and ideas that overwhelms them whenever they mention the name Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you go to the name Allah being the name that all attributes of perfection and glory refer to, all beautiful names refer to. And this is why when you say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Razzaq, Al-Mutakabbir, etc. are all names of Allah. But you never ever say Allah is the name of Ar-Rahman, or Allah is one of the names of Al-Aziz. It's the other way around always. All beautiful names and attributes refer to Allah the Almighty. And when you go to supplicate, when you invoke Allah, we usually use the article of calling, which is Ya. So if I want to call my brother Abdullah, I said, Ya Abdullah. I'm calling him Ya Abdullah, Ya John, Ya David. This is an article that we put before the name. So we say Ya Aziz. We drop the identification article, Al. When we ask who is Allah, what are some of Allah's names, we would say Al Aziz, Al-Khaliq, Al-Razzaq, Al-Kareem. We put A-L, Al. But when we want to call him, we say Ya Khaliq, Ya Razzaq, Ya Kareem, Ya Aziz. We drop the identification article with every single name, except with one name, and that is Allah. We say Ya Allah. We don't drop a thing out of it, which supports the opinion of scholars who say that the name Allah is abstract. It is not stemmed from any other name, and this is why we don't drop the identification article at the beginning, Al. And scholars of Aqeedah, when they speak about the name Allah, they expand. They go beyond identifying what Allah means and where it comes from. They speak about Allah with majesty. So they say the name of Allah Azza wa Jal is used in tasbih. And this is called nahd. When you come to a phrase and you make one word of it, so saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, this is a phrase. You make nahd out of it, you shorten it, and you say tasbih. Tahmid, Alhamdulillah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Hawqala, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Istirja' or tajir, when you say Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. All of these, you use the word Allah, the name Allah, nothing else. To embrace Islam, you can't say Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ar-Rahman. This is unacceptable. You have to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. And you don't have to point your finger as so many people when announcing the Shahada. And I used to be one of them. We used to address the non-Muslims, say Ashhadu an la ilaha. This is wrong. This is not from the Sunnah. So just say Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. I bear witness there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Why? There are so many gods. Buddha is a god. A cow to the Hindus is a god. Idols are gods. But there, none of them is worthy of being worshipped other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is why when scholars talk about the name Allah, they expand. Not to make you bored or to write many pages that nobody is going to read. Rather, to cement the glorification of Allah in your heart. Allah whom you do not know. So if one would say to you, Allah, I said, yeah, subhanallah, Allah, I know Allah. So what? He has hellfire and he has paradise. He has got angels. Akhi, you're not contemplating who Allah is. He created the whole universe. And you are nothing compared to this universe. Not a thing, not even a particle, not an atom. You're nothing. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal created you. Allah Azza wa Jal created things for you. Allah provided for you. Allah facilitated your affairs. You cannot inhale a breath without His permission. And if you inhaled it, you cannot exhale it without His permission. The blood runs in your veins without your control. You don't even think about it. And when a blood clot stops, you don't even know about it. It's all by His creation. The perfection you see in the universe, when they say Swiss work, clockwork, no. This is Allah's divine work in this great universe. This is what cements the beautiful names in your heart. But we're lazy. We just want, you know, fast food. Give me a cheeseburger on the go. Hold the onions. This is what we concentrate mostly about. This is why it is extremely important to go through these prolonged writings about Allah. It's not a composition article. It is something that strengthens your iman in Allah. When you know that the word Allah is what makes you a Muslim or a kafir, depending on the angle you say it. It is the first thing you're asked about in your grave. It is the first article of iman, the six pillars of iman. It is the main pillar of Islam, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Without Allah Azza wa Jal, we are nothing. And there is no one in this whole universe that can claim that He's Allah. No one has ever claimed the name other than Allah. And who is Allah? If we were to look at the Creator, it will take us ages. If we were to look at the Provider, the Giver of life and death, the Facilitator of all our affairs, it would take ages. If we were to look at the only one worthy of being worshipped, so we have Rububiyyah, Lordship. We have Uluhiyyah, worship. The only one worthy of being thanked, feared, loved, hoped in what He has, to trust, to rely on, to depend, to have our submissiveness for. All these feelings and actions and rhetoric can only be devoted to Him alone. If we look at His beautiful names and attributes, again, this would take us ages. This is why we're not giving it importance when we talk about Allah's beautiful names in a segment or two. And this is why Imam or Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasr al-Sa'di says, Allah is the only one worthy of being worshipped, worthy of being assumed as a Lord, as a God to be worshipped. No one in the universe is capable of assuming such a position. Can anyone come and say, yes, this God created the universe. This prophet created this animal. Can anyone say Jesus created the world? No. Not even the Christians say this. They would say that the Father created the world. Who's the Father? Allahu la ilaha illahu. And we don't call Him Father. His beautiful names are known and identified, and we cannot go past them or create any new ones. No one says, I create. No one says, I provide. No one says, I have the ability to get rain from the heavens and to get crops from the earth. No one claims that I give life. And I take it. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can do this and can say this. And only Allah is worthy of being worshipped and worthy of being taken as a Lord and an Ilah. And what is Ilah? Ilah is one of Allah's beautiful names. This is why we call Him Al-Ilah. And Ilah is all what these beautiful names go and refer to, the one who is worthy of being worshipped. And this is why in Shahada we say, there is no God. There is La ilaha. Ilaha. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. And your Lord is one Lord, one ilah. So they are so close in meaning, but we know that al-ilah is Allah the Almighty, and no one can claim to be al-ilah himself. And is it possible? As I said, we cannot go on because this would take us ages, though we can, just to reflect on the beauty of the name of Allah and how it benefits us through our lives. But you contemplate on how many times we say Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, the greatest and beloved dhikr to Allah, Subhanallah, wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah is mentioned. You glorify Allah Azza wa Jal and praise Him. And last point before the break, is it permissible, part of learning the beautiful names in Allah, of Allah, to repeat Allah's names? So after Fajr prayer, is it permissible to say Allah, 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 or Ar-Rahman, and repeat it 5 times, 10 times, 15 times? This is an innovation. There is no such thing as repeating Allah's names multiple times alone, without tasbih, without dhikr. No. This is wrong. And it's even worse when someone says, if you have a pain in your ear, a sami', which means all hearing, you should repeat it 114 times. Why not 113? Why not 115? Just repeat it and boom, it will go. If you have eyes that are not seeing clearly, you say al-basir. This is all part of the Sufi mystic innovations, and we've seen them swirl round like fans and claiming to do dhikr, running one after the other. We've seen them do things that are so heinous. Some of them just say Allah, 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 and they start swinging right and left and then forward and backwards and then jumping upside down. What is this? This is not part of Islam, nor part of what the companions used to do. Some of them even remove the name of Allah after a while, and they point out with a pronoun. So instead of saying Allah, Allah, they say who, 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 who. And you've seen this in videos, and jumping Jack Flash. What is this? This is totally innovation, haram, bid'ah, and all those people are deviant people, followers of shaitan, not followers of Ar-Rahman. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I'm going to talk about the book Interactions of the Greatest Leader. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them what to say when stricken with a calamity. Allah says, what means? And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits. But give good tidings to the patient who, when disaster strikes them, say, indeed we belong to Allah and indeed to Him we will return. Those are the ones upon whom are blessings from their Lord and mercy, and it is those who are the rightly guided. Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, there is not a Muslim that is afflicted with a calamity who says what Allah ordered him, what Allah ordered them to say. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. To Allah we belong, and unto Him we shall return. O Allah, grant me reward in my calamity, and give me something better in return, except that Allah will give him something better in return. Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, continued, when Abu Salama died, I said, which Muslim is better than Abu Salama? The first household to migrate to the Messenger of Allah. Then I said that supplication And Allah the Almighty gave me the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in return. Reported by Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back, and we have Zain al-Din from UK.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
How are you, Sheikh? Long time no see.
I'm doing well. You can always open Zaad TV and you'll see me, inshallah.
Yeah, I always do. Sheikh, I have a two questions and I have a thought as well.
One is sufficient because we have so many callers waiting.
Okay. This is regarding the concept of wishful ideology. You know, when we were kids, like, we used to be taught that if you look at the stars and you wish for something, or if you go to the wishing well and you throw a coin into the wishing well and you say whatever you wish for, it will be granted. So what is the basis of this? And is it permissible to go to the wishing well and to throw a coin into it and to ask something, or to look at the stars and to wish for something?
Okay, I will answer your question, inshallah. So Zain is asking about the concept of seeing a shooting star and hoping for something with the ideology that it will come true, or going to a well in Venice or in Rome and throwing a coin, hoping for something, or putting a lock in a fence and hoping for something. This is all not related to Islam. It can be major shirk. Major shirk. If you think that this star would get your wish fulfilled, or throwing a coin in a well because it's a blessed well, it will get your wish fulfilled. And it can be a minor shirk, which is greater than the major sins, if you think that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who answers your wish, but through this innovated means. So definitely, this is haram and not permissible. Suhail from Malaysia.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Hassan.
Salam to Allah.
Sheikh, I have a question. Alhamdulillah, Allah has guided us to know that we follow Quran and Sunnah through the manhaj al-Salaf. But now, with these new divisions and with these new aqidas, so-called Ashaira, Maturidiyah, is it permissible for us to say that we are Athari, or we are, yeah. So is it permissible to say this in case of confusion between Ashaira and Maturidiyah and Mu'tazila?
Okay, I will answer you, inshallah. So Hail, in regards of calling yourself a name, this is not part of the Sunnah. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says that it is not permissible for someone to call himself Salafi. So he goes around, people say, I'm a Salafi. No, we are all part of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, simply to segregate ourselves from the people of innovation. But if we were cornered, what type of is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then we may say that we follow the Aqidah of the Salaf, but we don't go proclaiming that we're Salafi or we're Athari or we're this or that, because this becomes part of labeling and like claiming that I am from this party rather than from the mainstream of Islam. So yes, again, you don't have to identify yourself more than I'm a Muslim. I'm from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I follow the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the three favorite generations. Jawad from Emirates.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Santallah.
Sheikh, I'm just wondering, whenever somebody else says the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whenever someone else says the name of Allah, do we also say subhanahu wa ta'ala or azza wa jal when someone else is saying it? Jazakum.
Okay. Wa jazakum. So Jawad's question is, or Jawad, should we praise Allah when we hear his name as we offer salutation upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? The answer is no. We are commanded and instructed to offer salutation upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam whenever we hear his name. But when it comes to Allah azza wa jal, you don't need that, because we are 24/7 praising him, glorifying him, saying takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than anything that crosses your mind, and making a lot of dhikr, all revolving around praising him, Azza وجل, and Allah knows best. Afifa from America.
Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salaamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So there is a hadith that implies that Allah is in front of us when we pray. Let me quote it. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you is in prayer, let him not spit in front of himself, for Allah is in front of him as he prays, and it's narrated in Bukhari. So if we take the zahir, the literal interpretation, wouldn't it be anthropomorphism? Because we're implying that Allah is literally in front of us,
okay,
which is not befitting to His Majesty.
Okay, I'll answer you in a simple logical explanation. Now, is it logical that we come to this one specific hadith and understanding it in a way that may indicate that Allah has what the terminology you've said? I don't know how to say it. Zakir Naik always says it, and I never thought of even writing it down, which means that Allah has a body and Allah is like humans and creatures, etc. And this is not related to Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't say that Allah has a body, and we don't say that Allah does not have a body. We say that Allah is described as He described Himself. So if you say that Allah has a body in the sense that He has hands and He has a face, etc., these are attributes are there. You cannot say He has a body because this was not mentioned. And you cannot deny that Allah doesn't have a body because Allah did not deny this upon Himself, unless when you come and say that His body is like our body, He has hands like our hands, a face like our faces. So we have to walk a very thin line here. So coming again to your question, the Prophet is telling us Allah Azza wa Jal is facing those who pray. So those who pray in China and those who pray in the US, which is almost 12 hours apart, they are all facing Allah Azza wa Jal. And this means that Allah is so great, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it does not fit into our imagination. We cannot imagine this. When the globe is like this, and we always say that Allah is above us. So one says, okay, Australia is down under. How is it possible? Akhi, this earth, this solar system, this galaxy, this universe is nothing compared to Allah Azza wa Jal. You cannot understand, because we only think of three dimensions, but there are fourth and a fifth and a sixth, and maybe God knows how many dimensions out there. So this is something that we cannot relate to, because our understanding is limited to three dimensions. Now, this hadith has to be understood among all of the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. And here you would find that everything falls into place. Allah is in the height, في السماء. Allah Azza wa Jal is above everything. Allah is upon His throne. And the whole universe is like a ring tossed in a desert. A ring in a desert, compared to the kursi, the place of the feet. And the kursi, compared to the arsh, to the throne, is like a ring tossed in the desert. And Allah is greater than all of this. So definitely, no one dares to interpret the hadith without understanding the whole concept of verses of the Quran and of the Sunnah, and without glorifying Allah, the Almighty, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Sad man from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, Sheikh, there are some softwares, they don't receive, the company don't receive the payments of it, and yet it is necessary for me to use it for some commercial purposes, but I can buy them, and they stop all kind of supports. So, but I have the software, so is it permissible to use it?
How did you acquire this software?
The software, it was an old version, so there are new versions available. They are receiving after payments, but I found the old versions are useful, and I can't pay for the new versions because it's too much high.
So you actually took the old version through hacking or cracked version?
No. It's like a demo version they are providing, but they stopped supporting it.
If they provide it for free and not supporting it, you can use that. No problem in that. Okay. CD from Germany.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Sheikh, what's the punishment for someone who missed a prayer without an excuse? And is it even an act of kufr if someone missed every day one or more prayers without an excuse?
Okay. So Sidi is asking about the punishment of someone who misses a prayer without an excuse. A group of scholars considered that to be something that nullifies Islam. Skipping one prayer without a legitimate reason falls, in their opinion, under the hadith, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever abandons it, he has committed an act of kufr. But the most authentic opinion is that it is one of the greatest and severe major sins in Islam, but it is not kufr. A person who deliberately skips one salat a day or more is in great danger, but again, he is still labeled as a Muslim, and his fate is in the hands of Allah. Whether we treat him as a Muslim, when he dies, we bury him as a Muslim, and we seek forgiveness for him. But only Allah Azza wa Jal can hold him accountable for what he had done over that major sin, and Allah knows best. Fakhar from Pakistan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, I have a confusion that why is there so many contradictions between the Hanafi school of thought teachings according to the authentic hadith, comparing them?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, wrote a small booklet which is very beneficial, and it really needs people to understand it. It's called Raf'u al-Malami 'an al-A'immati al-A'lam. Uplifting the blame from all the high esteemed imams of schools of thought. How do we uplift the blame? How can we not blame them for differing and causing this chaos that we see? He explains that how Islam spread. And I've done this in one of the courses I was fortunate to do in Malaysia a couple of years ago, to talk about the origin of fiqh. Maybe if Allah Azza wa Jal gives us life and time, we may do this course in Huda TV, if Allah is willing, inshallah. So all the companions referred to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for fatwa. Nobody gave fatwa or a ruling except the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. After his death, the companions started to come up with opinions of their own, according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And the prominent companions were Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Iraq, Abdullah ibn Abbas in Mecca, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Zayd ibn Thabit in Medina. These are the four prominent companions. And from there came Tabi'in, Tabi'at Tabi'in, who became the imams and the scholars or the teachers of the four prominent imams. So the first imam of the four schools of thought, it was Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa, compared to Malik, who was in Medina, surrounded by all the Tabi'een, who took all their knowledge from the companions. So he was in a very fertile ground, taking all the sunnahs from everywhere. That's why he has his book, Al-Muwatta. And then we have Muhammad Idris al-Shafi'i, who went to Al-Iraq, to Al-Sham, to Yemen, to Egypt. And he learned from so many of the Tabi'een who were scattered all over the place and gained knowledge. And then we have finally Imam Ahmad, who traveled a lot, almost everywhere, and collected his huge book called Al-Musnad, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, with narrations of different types of companions because he traveled a lot. Abu Hanifa did not travel. He was a merchant and he was one of the brightest individuals ever, of humans with an intellectual powers, but he didn't travel. So whatever little knowledge he had from the hadith, due to the lack of the number of companions who collected a hadith and relayed them to their students, the tabi'een, and he collected those from, because of the little amount of tabi'een he heard and learned from, his school of thought is based on logic. So the 1 + 1 = 2, logical. So by default, this issue requires this particular thing, that's logical. This is why he did not have the same amount of knowledge to rely on like Imam Malik, like Imam Shafi'i, like Imam Ahmad, yet he had the honor and the dignity to declare it to all of his students. Whenever you hear an authentic hadith, this is my opinion. Toss my own opinion across the street. Follow the hadith, because this is what I believe and this is what I worship Allah with. So he put this disclaimer so that people, when they come and say, Abu Hanifa says so and so, but there is a hadith that says that there is no marriage without a guardian. Abu Hanifa says it's okay to get married without a guardian. Well, he put a disclaimer saying, I didn't hear of such a hadith. If the hadith is authentic, it is what I believe in. You have to follow that. Blind followers don't want to follow this aspect. This is why we have this confusion, and Allah knows best. I think we have time for one more question. Abdul Mujib, Nigeria.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Samtullah.
Now, my question, for a young brother who wants to get married, how can one love solely for the sake of Allah and not just because I want to get married or because you want to give birth to children or for other things? Just for the sake of Allah.
Okay. Akhi, you have a confusion, because getting married is for the sake of Allah. No one gets married for not having children or not to fulfill his sexual desires or not to have a soulmate that he would have compassion and love and affection with. Nobody goes to an orphanage and say, give me the ugliest woman, the one who's handicapped, the one who's, and I would like to marry her for the sake of Allah. This is not how it goes. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated that a woman is sought after for her beauty, for her lineage, for her wealth, and for her religious commitment. So opt for the one with the religious commitment, or your hands would be holding into dust. So don't mix apples with oranges. Marry the one whom you feel satisfied with, and make your intention to both of you reach Jannah al-Firdawsi, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have until we meet, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday and it's our day off. So until we meet Saturday, same time, I'll leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون